You're an ice cream cone. You're a lollipop. You're a baby chick. You're a pogo stick. You're a magic trick. You're a spinning top. You're special.
Well, Neighborhood Archive listeners, watch for Raining Frogs, because the world may be ending. I'm doing two podcasts in 1 week. This has not happened since the early times of the podcast itself, and tonight we have another wonderful guest with us tonight. You've heard me talk about him a time or two on our blog. He's chimed in with some comments here and there. Quite honestly, one of my favorite people on the internet, Mr. Guy Hutchison.
Well, that's fantastic. That is, I'm not sure if I can live up to that intro, but thank you very much. Very happy to be here.
Well, I appreciate you being here. You guys, if you get the time, I really encourage you to check out some of Guy's involvement online. I think he's got his hand in about every corner of the internet that you could possibly have your hand in. He's got some great sites out there. I encourage you to check out GuyHutchison.com for all of your Guy Hutchison's needs.
Right, yes.
And one of my personal favorites being BunchOJunk.com. I love the site greatly. So yeah. let me just end my little commercial for you there, and we could talk a little bit about your projects.
That's good.
We could talk a little bit about your projects there at the end, because you've got some other good ones I want to mention before we're done.
Sure.
Guy, you and I are about the same age, about the same point in life. It's Friday night right now as we're recording this. So what do two adult men, what do we do on a Friday night but talk about Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood?
Yeah, it's so true. As I was thinking about things to say about this show, I kept thinking, I feel like I'm overanalyzing this show. It's for small children, but that's exactly what we have to do today is overanalyze this show.
That's right. It's Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. We're 1 week in officially. They've aired six full episodes, two on Monday and then one Tuesday through today. And so we've had the opportunity to see up to six episodes. And from the get-go, I just want to throw this out there that from the start, let me say something I've said dozens of times over on the archive message board and on the blog and on the website, that I fully understand that we as adults are not the target audience for this show. And that's something very important to keep in mind as we make comments about this show, because the target audience itself, roughly kids 2 to 5, I have two kids in that target area, and they love the show, love it. So let me just say that from the get-go. I'm kind of repeating myself from things I've mentioned on the message board before, but I just think it's important to make that disclaimer early on that we're not saying this doesn't meet certain standards, or this is good, this is bad for this reason or that reason. We're adult men. We're adults, just like a lot of the people probably listen. Most of the people listening to this.
Right.
So yeah, I understand it's for kids. So that being said.
Yeah, well, I do want to say real quick, I have seen a lot of negative opinions on this, and they all seem to be based on that it's not the old show.
Right.
And I think it's important for people to remember that, you know, things are going to change. And, you know, when we watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, there's nostalgia, there's, you know, memories you have from the past, which you're obviously not going to have on this show, but the important thing to look at is this show good for children? Is this good for parents to have to show to children? And and it'll be fun to talk about.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. You know, the comparison to say it's not Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and again, I don't want to get off on this
right.
tangent, because I do want to focus on the show itself, but you know, I've made this comparison a few times as well, that comparing Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood to Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood and saying it's just not the same, to me, is no different than going to Vegas and seeing an Elvis impersonator and complaining that that's not the real Elvis Presley. You know, it's someone paying tribute. It's someone presenting material of the original in a new format to a new generation. So with that in mind, I think that Daniel Tiger has Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood has just wonderful, wonderful intentions. Well, I tell you what, let's take a look at some of the good, some of the bads from the show. I use the word good and bad very, very openly, very lightly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go back and forth. You know, I've got a couple of things listed here in front of me. I don't know if I'm assuming you've got a few things in mind as well.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm just going to start with one of the positive things I love from the show, and that comes in the opening. And the opening theme of every episode, where they come through the tunnel and things just light up as they enter Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. I don't know if this is intentional, and I mentioned this on the blog a while back very briefly. I don't know if this is intentional, but I have to believe that it is. If you've ever been to Pittsburgh, you enter Pittsburgh through a tunnel. And as you get to the end of that tunnel, it's just like you enter the tunnel and then boom, there's the city. And the opening of Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood is exactly like that, to where you're in the tunnel and boom, there's Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. And I have to believe that's intentional.
Right. I have been to Pittsburgh. I hadn't noticed that, but what I thought of when I first saw it was, when you go to Walt Disney World or Disneyland, they have the train station and you go under it and then you see the castle and everything else. And I like the idea of you enter this world all at once. Mm-hmm. It's really a beautiful opening, and I love that opening song.
Well, what else do you have, Guy? How about a good on your end?
Well, I really like the intro, the people who paid the money to make, you know, Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. I love how they have that intro. You don't really see that as much anymore on PBS, because now they're allowed to show full commercials basically between the programs. You know, they're sponsored by Chuck E. Cheese or whatever. They'll show a whole commercial instead of the old days where they just showed a logo. And I really liked seeing that. And the voice sounds very much like David Newell plays Mr. McFeely, mm-hmm. doing that intro.
Right. You know, and I, that's nothing I've verified, but if I can be 100% positive without being 100% positive, I'm sure that's him. It's not verified.
If it's not him, it's somebody trying to do his voice, because it sounds a lot like
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely. You know, speaking of voices, let me give a not so good here. King Friday's voice, I'm not sold on. King Friday, I don't know when King Friday became British. In his first appearance, I think it was on that first episode, he's got a bit of an accent. Not that I have any issue with the accent, but I just kind of feel like it's such a huge difference from the original character. And I'm not saying every character has to be exactly the same as the original, but this is just, this to me seems like such a huge gap and such a huge difference from the original. And then in today's episode, I'm not sure if you had a chance to watch that or not, but in today's episode, mm-hmm. as King Friday is talking, it seems like he goes back and forth between having an accent and not having an accent, just back and forth. And so it just seems like his voice is just, I mean, obviously it's not one of the focuses of the show, but I'm just not sold on it.
Well, let me ask something and kind of break down something, because I think not everybody would have seen the show. But so basically, the Daniel Tiger in the show is the grandson of the Daniel Tiger from the neighborhood of Make Believe in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Actually, the son of Daniel Tiger. So Dad Tiger on the show is actually Daniel Striped Tiger.
Okay, so the mother and father, so that's the original Daniel. X the Owl, that's his niece or nephew that lives with him?
That's his nephew.
Okay. And King Friday, and then I guess this is King Friday's grandson that they go to school with?
It's King Friday's son. He has, Prince Tuesday shows up a few times. I think he's shown up once so far this week. And Prince Wednesday is actually the youngest son of King Friday.
I see. I wonder why they didn't just go with having the children, the characters be children, like Muppet Babies, mm-hmm. or, you know, Looney Tunes when they did that. I wonder why they went with these being the children of them, because it seems, I guess maybe then you have more parental, you know, relations and things like that. Mm-hmm. But okay, so this is supposed to be the same King Friday, and he doesn't sound anything like it. And I don't know if it's that the voice actor, you know, wanted to do something different or just had never listened to it. Maybe they felt it wasn't necessary, but it's a weird choice. Most of the voice work, though, on this show, I think, is stellar. I think mm-hmm. the voice of Daniel Tiger is so wonderful. It doesn't sound anything like the voice of the character in the TV series, but it's such a charming voice, mm-hmm. and it's such a wonderful portrayal. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the grandson, the son, the nephew, the nieces, things like that. And that actually kind of leads into one of my other goods that I've got here is I love the idea of the next generation. I love the fact that this is, you know, intended to be the message of Fred Rogers brought to a new generation. And it's being brought to a new generation through a new generation of his characters. And, right. and I think that's just, I think the creativity behind that is phenomenal. You know, to think that, you know, if you're going to make a new show based on Mr. Rogers' characters, how many, you know, a lot of people I think would focus directly on those original characters. But to take that a step further and focus on basically their offspring and the next generation of those characters, I think is fantastic.
Yeah. So when they go into the museum go-round, there is an interracial couple, which right. I thought was a really wonderful thing that they Absolutely. Added to this. Is that Lady Elaine?
It is.
But she doesn't look like Lady Elaine.
I think Lady Elaine has possibly grown and matured a little bit, you know, in her style and her attitude, it seems. But,
well, it's but that, good that because is Lady she was able to, I wouldn't assume she could have attracted a husband with the red nose, so she cleaned herself
music,
up a bit.
Music man
that
stand.
Is really interesting. I got to tell you, on my DVR, the description for the show said that this was Daniel Tiger's grandson.
You know,
and so I watched the show with that in my mind, and it didn't add up to me. I didn't understand why X the Owl was still there and a lot of other things.
My local PBS station, I was looking on either their website or one of the nearby PBS stations, and it said the same thing. But and I started to kind of second guess. Maybe I had misunderstood this all along, but right. 90% of the stuff that's out there, it's detailed as it's Daniel Tiger being.
Well, that makes a whole lot more sense. That really, lot of what I didn't like about the show was that I thought they were kind of, you know, really playing with the timeline, mm-hmm. and so it was hard for adults to follow. But if that's his son, then it makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the intro song, you mentioned the intro, the trolley goes through, and I love that the trolley continues in this and has mm-hmm. the same beeping sound, mm-hmm. Same like chimes. The trolley takes them through, and he starts out singing Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood and then turns it into this other song that's so catchy. I hear this in my head the rest of the day in a good way, a really sweet little song.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel that way about a lot of the jingles and the little songs that they use in the show, you know, that are based on the strategies for dealing with different emotions and things like that. I find myself, especially that first one that was just kind of beat into the ground almost because it was just everywhere, that the when something seems bad, turn it around and find something good. You know, I feel like that was everywhere leading up to the premiere of the show. But you know what? It got stuck in my head, and so therefore, as far as I'm concerned, it's done its job. It's served its purpose, because I think that's the idea behind these simple little tunes, is to get in the heads of kids and parents to be able to, in certain situations, recall those jingles and those lines and use those strategies.
Right. I do want to add, I have an 18-month-old son, and so I've been watching a lot of Mr. Rogers, try to watch it every night with him, and it has the wonderful effect on him that we always hope, you know, that show would have on a child. You know, he calms down for it, and he also seems to pick up a lot of things. But one of the things that I've noticed that over, you know, being an adult, only seeing a clip of Mr. Rogers here or there and never sitting down and paying attention to whole episodes, is how much song was in the original show. Mm-hmm. And so I really feel the songs that they have incorporated into the new show, that's very much in the spirit of the old show. The difference is these songs, a lot of them are much faster paced than the
Absolutely.
Songs in the original series.
And I was pretty thrilled in one episode this week to find that they had kind of, even though it's lyrically a little bit different, redone an original song from the original Neighborhood. They had reused What Do You Do With the Mad That You Feel? And they, mm-hmm. the lyrics had changed just slightly, and they, you know, made it sound a little bit different. But I love the fact that that's incorporated in there. I really hope this is something that's going to be done again. You know, and quite honestly, I hope it's done quite frequently, because I think if there's any part of the original show that really deserves to be a part of the next generation of the Neighborhood, it should be the music.
Sure. No, you're absolutely right. I do want to say about stuff from the original show that is incorporated, you know, into this, the characters and a lot of the, you know, even the font that they use to spell out the title is the same as the old show. One of the things that I really wish they found a way to incorporate was some footage from the original show. I mean, they have so many hours of footage. It just seemed to me that watching these, that it wouldn't have been out of place if they maybe used a clip of Fred to introduce the show, maybe at the end of the show. Or there are sections of the show where they show some live action footage, which I really like. They show kids doing whatever the message is in the show. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really good, because it gives kids that are watching it reinforces it with a real world example of, you know, this cartoon thing that they just learned. But I kept thinking, why couldn't they maybe incorporate some of the old footage? And if the reason is that they don't want to show 1970s hairstyles, why couldn't they use, you know, some narration maybe by taking some clips from the old shows. I just really feel that whatever the subject is, there's footage they have of Mr. Rogers talking about it. And if they used a minute of footage of Mr. Rogers in every one of these episodes, I really think people our age, adults that have children, would like the show so much more.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that would take care of a lot of the, you know, the comments and the opinions of people that mm-hmm. feel like that the original neighborhood has been left out of this new neighborhood.
Right.
You know,
and it seems like a no-brainer. I mean, they have, you know, at the very least, they have 300 episodes. I know they have older ones beyond that mm-hmm. they have access to. But if you think about 300 half-hour episodes, you know, they've got hundreds of hours, you know, mm-hmm. plus the ones, the older ones beyond that, hundreds of hours of footage. And there has to be enough material for this show. I don't feel that they... And imagine if Daniel Tiger learns the lesson and then he, you know, has a, you know, maybe a picture he walks over to, and there's an animated story that uses Mr. Rogers' voice, mm-hmm. you know, from the old show. I just think it's such an easy thing to incorporate.
Mm-hmm. You know, and, that
and
kind
with animation, they could make it fit to the style of the show they're right. trying to do.
Right, exactly. You know, that kind of goes along with something else that I really wish there was more of in the show. And I don't know if you recall from a few years ago when Sesame Street hit their 40th season. That was just about the time that my oldest daughter was just really starting to enjoy Sesame Street. And it happened to be the 40th season. And one of the things that they did, for anybody who doesn't remember this or doesn't know about this, was every episode during that season, there was one thing that was kind of hidden or plugged into that episode somewhere for the adults who grew up watching Sesame Street. It might have been a character that hadn't been around for 20 or 30 years who pops up in the background, or it may have been something subtle written on a sign, but it was almost a game for me to watch Sesame Street with my daughter at that time, because I was always on the lookout for these little subtle nods to the original, not the original, but the classic episodes from sure. when I was a kid. And I wish there was more of that. Now, granted, it's only been a week, and there may be more coming, and there may be a lot more, you know, things that are down the line that we don't know about. But in the first week of Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, I really wish there were more... I guess subtle nods to the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the characters are based off the original characters. The trolley is there. The music is there. The in-your-face type nods to the original are great. But I mm-hmm. wish there were some more just subtle things for the adults who grew up with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood to kind of you know, have something of their own to kind of, to pick out as they're watching with their kids.
I really feel that if the show lasts longer, that is something they probably will do more of.
I certainly hope so.
I also will say, as one of the best things about this, if you want another good on this show, mm-hmm. it's that it exists at all. I mean, the fact that that company can generate revenue, if this show is a hit, it means that the older shows will have a much better chance of being, you know, out there in DVD and digital formats, you know, release of more, you know, materials with these characters and with Fred Rogers, you know, certainly would come about if this show continues to make money. And anything for this corporation, the Fred Rogers Company is a very good company that does a lot of good. And the fact that they are now a player in children's television again is wonderful after mm-hmm. the past several years of Fred Rogers Show not being shown on television anymore. I think that's a really, really big positive. And it's one of those things that if you don't like it as an adult, if you look at it and you say, wow, it's too sing-songy, the cartoon doesn't look right to me, at least it keeps this name and this franchise alive, and it's, you know, in the minds of kids for another generation.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things do you have on your side of things? I know I sent you some of my ideas and some of the things that mm-hmm. I was looking to maybe touch on. What are some things that really stand out to you about the show?
Well, I really like the voice acting. I love the animation style. I mean, and I know there's a handful of shows like this that, you know, that are on television now, but it's a really beautiful animation style. And the other thing that I really liked about it is the show is certainly faster paced than the old Mr. Rogers Neighborhood program was. However, This show is considerably slower paced than the current version of Sesame Street. It's slower paced than The Wiggles. Mm-hmm. It's slower paced than a lot of the shows that my son watches with me as well. And so I really felt that this really does a good job of slowly laying things out. It seems fast to us because we're used to children's shows that were at a much slower pace. But mm-hmm. I feel compared to today's current television for children, it doesn't have a lot of quick cuts. Mm-hmm. They're not going from one, you know, scene to another scene. It's not, you know, it's not broken up like that. And I did like that about it.
You know, and that kind of goes along with one of the critiques that I read on an article just in the last couple of days mentioned how it's taking serious issues or taking, you know, emotional issues, and it's dealing with them so quickly that this article, the author of this article, didn't feel like it was doing you know, proper justice to these issues. Right. You know, the fact that a child is disappointed, the parent offers a 10-second strategy, and boom, they're feeling better, and their feelings of disappointment or their feelings of sadness are no longer there. And you know, you have to realize that there's only a certain amount of time to get this stuff accomplished. Now, I feel like, again, not to compare this to the original Neighborhood show, because sure. I think that was such a special show and such a unique show that there's never going to be anything that comes close to comparing to that show. And so, as you said, in comparison to other shows for children that are out there right now, this is a slow-paced show. This is a show that slows things down a little bit. The quick cuts are few and far between. They're dealing with feelings and emotions that kids are experiencing on a daily basis, and it's not all academic. It's not all ABCs and 1-2-3s. And right. So I think with the current generation's tastes in mind, and the current generation's, I guess, the competition for viewership from the current generation, I think this show is a modern day slow paced version of a children's show.
Yeah, and I will say this about comparing older shows to the shows of today. I think that when we were younger, the way shows taught children was in a very direct way, and I think that the people that make these shows, you have to believe, today have a better knowledge of how to do this. This has been studied and advanced over the past several decades, and I know that prior to seeing Barney with my son, I would see Barney and say, this show is ridiculous. The kids aren't learning anything from this. And then I watched it with him, and I noticed things he would start to pick up and do. And this is, you know, at a very young age, you know, because the show was had a lot of repetition, and because on that show they would take classic songs that had been around for 400 years, like This Old Man or Bingo or whatever, and do new lyrics to it, and it works because those songs are catchy. And so I think that educators that make these programs today, while on the surface it may not feel right to us, I think that there is, at least I have some trust that they know what they're doing, and that these messages get through well to kids. And one of the things that we had talked about was that they did a lot of, they repeat like the Ugga Mugga, they do a lot. Mm-hmm. And the way Daniel Tiger speaks has a lot of like cutesy catchphrases to it. Mm-hmm. And I feel that to a degree, they have to repeat things, you know, that there are things that they have to repeat because they have to get that in so that they can branch the series out further. And right. I just kind of feel that the people making it probably know what they're doing in that way.
And I have to hope that you're exactly right there, because that's one thing, as I watch with my kids, that's one thing that really just kind of makes my skin crawl, is the overuse of the catchphrases. And I really hope that that's just kind of an introductory type thing, where, you know, the whole Gerrific thing, I think, is, quite honestly, I think it's kind of you know, yeah, uncreative, to tell you the truth. I think it's basically stealing a catchphrase from Tony the Tiger, as far as I'm concerned. Right. And, you know, and it's not even like that was that creative to begin with. You know, and I'm not complaining. I think it's one thing to have a character with catchphrases and things like that, but to constantly use them in situations where I don't feel like they're warranted. I feel like Katarina Kitty Cat, for example, the whole meow meow thing, I this doesn't seem right the way it's used on the show. You know, right. Lady Elaine, when she came into the room on one episode as an exclamation, used the phrase, "Well, boomerang, toomerang." You know, which in one sense is kind of fun and kind of humorous, as an adult who grew up with the original Lady Elaine, I really hope that's not on track to become her little catchphrase, that they're just going to recycle all these. Ugga Mugga, right. You know, I think the Ugga Mugga thing is, I'm kind of torn on Ugga Mugga because, you know, I do feel like it's somewhat overused, but I think it could have potential with this show, but it was such a unique part of the original neighborhood of make believe that you know, from what I understand was ad libbed when it was first used.
Wow.
And then just kind of grew from there, that to kind of take that and make it this catchphrase. I don't know where I stand on that, but I do know that when I put my girls to bed every night this week, I give them a hug, I give them a kiss, and my 2-year-old every night says, "I want an Ugga Mugga," and so she's enjoying the show. You know, they're loving the show. Yeah. And it's sinking in. So
yeah, and again, I mean, that stuff sinks in for them, and I mean, I think that they do. I think that some of that stuff is necessary. One thing I really liked about the show, and this is another thing, this is the last thing I have on my list here, and this is another thing that I noticed from watching the old episodes of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, is in this show, Daniel Tiger stops and talks to the audience a lot, and he does a lot of, you know, do you know how we could get there? Do you know how many this is? Or do you know what we should do with that? Or do you know anybody that would have one of those? And this is something that until I started rewatching the old episodes of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, this was something I thought was from more modern audiences. This was from Blue's Clues, you know, where they would talk to the audience, or they did this on Elmo Does This.
Dora
the Explorer. And one of the things I don't like about it, when I've seen it with like my nieces and nephews a few years ago, is they'll sit there and Dora will say, "Do you know how many this is?" And they won't answer. And I sit there and say, you're supposed to interact with the TV, and they just stare at it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, this is interactive thing is unnecessary. But now that I've been watching a lot of the old episodes, Mr. Rogers did exactly that. He would talk to the children, and he would pause for you to answer. He'd say, "Do you know anybody that wears glasses?" Just like that. You know, that's how he would do it. And I like that they incorporated that into this. And I think for children of the right age, especially if the parents encourage them to speak back at this, I mean, as silly as it seems to talk to the TV, it's an interaction that I think is very helpful. And that is the last thing I have on my list of things that I thought were good and bad about the show. And I think that's definitely a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me bring it home here with a couple of positives.
Sure.
My positives, I've got three left here on my list. You know, one being one that you touched on earlier. I love the dynamic of the families on this show. I love the fact that you've got Mom Tiger, Dad Tiger, who are the parents of Daniel Tiger. Then you've got a child that lives with an uncle. You've got a child that lives with her interracial parents. You've got you know, just a whole mix of different family situations that are all, you know, encompassed in just these few kids. And I think that's great. I think it's great because it kind of makes it applicable to any kid that's going to watch the show. It's going to find someone to relate to in some way. And I think that's great. I think it's fantastic. Another positive, another great thing I love about the show, this is so minor. It's so little. I love the Clock Factory. I absolutely love it because one of the first times I saw a clip of this show, I saw as the trolley passes by, maybe it was on something different, but I think on the theme as the trolley passes the clock, Daniel Tiger is waving, you know, the adult, the Dad Tiger is waving out the top of the clock. But yes. Then I read later where that family lives in Jungle Beach, and I thought, well, then what's he doing at the clock? Because in the original neighborhood, Daniel lived at the clock. And then the fact that that's where he works, and it's a clock factor, I think that's very creative. I love it. I love that idea. Yeah, I was just blown away by that. I thought it was very creative. And the last thing, the last positive that really just popped in my head as I was trying to think of just, you know, various goods and bads on the show, the closing song with Daniel where he sings is wonderful. It's wonderful. It's essentially it's kind of a cover of or a take on Fred's closing songs. But I love it. I absolutely love the fact that it's just again, another nod to the original neighborhood and another another example of the original message and the timeless message of Fred Rogers just being carried over to another generation, you know, even another decade down the line.
Right. And hey, if you show this to your young kids and it gets them interested enough in these characters that you can put on the old show and show them that as well, you know, to the people listening, that's a good thing.
But
so,
I
really think that it's really wonderful if this show is out there.
But I have to wonder if my kids really get into Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, as it seems that they have already. And then I try to explain to them, like, look, these are the original characters. Is that going to be the equivalent of, like, my dad showing me old family pictures when I was a kid and being like, this is your great-great-great-grandfather? You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I got to tell you, when I was younger, when Batman 98 came out, or 89 came out, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I thought the Adam West, Burt Ward one was much more fun. So you never know. You never know what kids are going to be into. I'm sure there's a lot of kids today that watch the Star Wars, Clone Wars, and then they look at the movies that we watch from the 70s, and they're not the same speed. But I think there's something about them that they enjoy.
Absolutely. Okay, so scale of 1 to 10, where do you rate Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood?
Well, I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it about a 7.5. It's a good show. I think it has room for improvement, but I think it's well done, and it is just so wonderful to see these characters on my television again.
I could agree with you more. As you said, 7.5, the number I had in my head was 8, just because I think, as you said, there's room for improvement, and there's room for, you know, potential growth in various areas. Not that there's anything horribly wrong with it to begin with. I think this is a great start. It's a great show. The fact that this message is being brought to my kids, mm-hmm. and their generation, to me, there's nothing words can describe there. I'm ecstatic that Mr. Rogers' message is being carried on. So, Guy, while we've got a few minutes here, let me number one, thank you for being here and talking Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood on a Friday night.
I love talking about Mr. Rogers. Anything about Mr. Rogers, I'm excited to talk about.
Seriously, two dudes on a Friday night talking children's television. Nothing better than that. But I honestly want to give you a couple minutes. Let's talk about some of the stuff that you do. I really encourage anybody listening, check out Guy's stuff. He's got some wonderful stuff out there.
Thank you, and I'll tell you exactly what people should do. They don't even need to go to the websites I have, because on your blog you've linked to the two shows that I think people really should check out. One of them is an interview that I did with you. You came on the Adventure Club podcast, which is a show we do. It's a real light comedy type of show, and we talk to different people that either actors, entertainers, newsmakers, or people that have some kind of an interesting web presence. And I really liked your website, and I thought this would be something that I think people would like to hear about, because I thought Mr. Rogers is one of those things that everybody loves, but nobody thinks about, you know, because people our age, it's something that's gone. And so we had you on, and it's basically a show which for people that hadn't thought about that show in years, they say, oh, right, I remember that. No, they did those operas. Those were great. And so it's a real fun chat, and you may not learn anything from it. If you're listening to this, you probably know a lot about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but we covered a lot of the topics, and Tim was fantastic on it. And I got so many people afterwards that emailed me and say, I hadn't thought about Mr. Rogers in 20 years. It was the craziest thing. I loved that. That was so funny. And he would take his shoes off and, you know, and put on his sweater. I mean, it was so, I got a lot of emails from people that were just really, you know, touched by that, because it was such an important part of their life that was seemingly gone forever. And again, if this show takes off, hopefully that at least the memory of it will be, you know, in more people's heads. Mm. And the other thing that I'd like people to check out, which is also linked on your Neighborhood Archive blog, is an interview I did with Dr. Francois Scarborough Clemens, mm-hmm. You know, from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and right. We talk about his whole. We cover a lot of his life, his upbringing, a lot of the music he's done, the teaching he does, as well as some wonderful stories he told about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and really some stories that aren't so much about working on the actual show, but stories about his interaction with Fred Rogers and stories about his life at that time, which I think are really worth people seeking out and checking out.
Absolutely. And if you're interested in taking a listen to that interview with Francois Clemens, it's about a week ago, within the past week, there's a blog post with a link directly to Guy's podcast or Guy's interview with Francois Clemens. And another thing I do want to point out, I know you didn't mention it, but the Big Bird Bridge website that you do, I think this is something that I think people would be very interested in, especially an audience interested in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. There's got to be an equivalent
there. Let me plug that real
quick.
I'll tell
Please
you what
do.
This is. There's near my house, there is a theme park for children called Sesame Place, and it's a theme park that's all about Sesame Street. It's a relatively small park if you compare it to something like Disney World, but it's very big, you know, for a local park. And when I went there a few times as a kid, and growing up, I was always fascinated by it because, you know, you drive by it and you'd say, oh, wow, there's that park that that I can't go to because I'm 18 years old and it's for little kids, but I have such fond memories of it. And then when I eventually was able to take my son there, I started looking around and I said, well, where is this? And one of the main things I wanted to find was the Big Bird Bridge, which was this thing you walked through and you walked through Big Bird's mouth and then you walked over the suspension bridge and it was gone. And I couldn't even figure out where it was located, and I said, I think the head was here, but we entered over there, and so I did some research, found out that this theme park that's now 16 acres was 3 acres when I was a kid, and so it's expanded so much, and so all of the memories I have, all of those attractions are gone, you know, almost all of them, and to be honest, the attractions they have now are better. The attractions that were there then were based on this being a very small little park that was much closer to the park that you go to down the street and go on the swings than to Disney World. And the place they have there now is fantastic. But I found that there was no information on it on the internet. So I started searching through photos and YouTube videos and newspaper archives to try to find information about the attractions that I remembered and didn't know the names of. And then I contacted some people at Sesame Place, and they've been kind of helpful. And I found people on the internet that have read the blog and said, oh my God, I remember this. I have a park map or I have a picture to send you. And so people have put that on there. And it's a really interesting read. Even if you've never been to this place, it's a fun blog to kind of look at because it's really neat to see the evolution of this theme park, and it's nostalgic because it's really wonderful to see a Sesame Street theme park in 1980 versus today. So it's bigbirdbridge.blogspot.com, and if you go to guyhutchinson.com or bunchojunk.com, there's a link for it there as well.
Yeah, guyhutchinson.com, by all means, is your catch-all for all of your Guy Hutchinson needs, as it's mentioned there at the top. It's got a link to all of Guy's involvement on the internet, all of which is absolutely fantastic. I kid you not when I say that Guy is by far one of my favorite people online these days. So
thank you, Tim. That's fantastic to hear. Thank you.
Guy, I really appreciate you spending some time with us tonight. It's been great to talk children's television and Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, and I hope to see great things out of this show in the weeks to come.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.